Now that Wendy's has these new biggie deals, everyone in the family can get what they're craving, from Nugs to JBCs. The parental units can get an $8 biggie bundle, the eldest who think they're so grown can get a $6 biggie bag, and the little one who can do no wrong can get a $4 biggie bites. You know, assuming they have a credit card. No, I'm kidding. We take cash too. $4, $6, and $8 biggie deals for the whole family. Only at Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Moncrief on News Talk.
It's time for parenting. Joanna Fortune joins us once again. Afternoon, Joanna.
Afternoon, Sean.
I have a 9-year-old twin girl. They're fantastic friends with each other, rarely fight. They're both very sociable, have lots of pals, are interested in sports, activities, love school, glitter, and choosing their own outfits. Two great kids. But one of them is a lot more sensitive than the other. I know that is not a bad thing, and she's a total empath, but also she can't take a joke or anyone gently winding her up. At the weekend, her sister was making funny faces and mimicking her, and she took it so badly she was distraught when she caught me laughing too. Her sister is a very good mimic. She lost it altogether and she can be quite dramatic. I apologise for making her feel like I was laughing at her, but try to explain it was just a little joke and wasn't unkind or meant to be mean. But she cried for the whole day and was cross at me for the next day or two. I want to meet her where she is and accept that she is a little more sensitive and parent her that way, but also want her to learn how to take a joke or understand banter, as this is part of life. Also, her sister is funny and that has to be celebrated as well. She also doesn't like if anyone else is being laughed at, even again, if it's not meant in a mean way. I know there is a wonderful equality, but she will need to take herself a little less seriously. Is it just her age? Is there more I can do?
I don't think it's just her age. Mm. I think it's who and how she is. And in the instance given in this letter, you know, and I imagine, you know, that's kind of quite typical, a snapshot of what goes on. The reality is they were all laughing at this kid, not with her.
Yeah.
And a joke is when everyone is laughing along and having fun. Otherwise, it's a joke at somebody's expense.
Yeah.
Don't want to sound like a killjoy, but she's not wrong. You were all laughing at her and it was at her expense. So celebrating how funny someone is because they can mock somebody else. Mm. I don't know about that, Sean, to be honest with you. And I like a good joke, so I don't want your people telling me to get a sense of humour.
If they're identical twins, how does one twin mimic another twin?
I was intrigued about that, but I didn't want to know. Let's not encourage her to do it again to show. But I just think that the funny twin also needs, you're talking about this sensitive kid needs to toughen up a bit and learn how to take a joke, but the funny one needs to also develop a little bit more sensitive attunement and be able to read her audience and when it stops being a joke and stops being funny, because that's also an important life skill.
Mm.
If you're the only one having fun, it really isn't fun.
Mm.
So I'd look at it that way. I do think just at the age thing, though, 9-year-olds, to be fair, can be quite literal thinkers because they're still developing that capacity for more abstract thought. And, you know, some kids simply prefer not to interact that way. They prefer straightforward thinking. That's just the way some people are. Never mind kids. Mm. That's just the way some people are. So I would say, you know, she's in this letter, you say she can be quite dramatic. I don't think she's dramatic. I think she's sensitive and those are very different things. And when you apologize, but as soon as you say, I apologized, but how sorry were you? I think everyone
I'm
here
sorry
just needs
if
to
you
go.
Feel that way.
I wonder if most of us operate in a way that we all have this shared joy. We all experience a kind of common ground where that's good fun for all of us. All you're doing is creating an us and them. And she's othered. She doesn't find this funny. I think you all need to maybe develop a little bit more sensitivity for her. Of course, as she grows and develops, she'll get used to the fact that not everybody feels the world the way she does.
Yeah.
And she, you know, may not ever find any of you all that funny, but she will begin to discern, this is you being funny. Okay. Yeah. All right. I know it's not meant as harmful. She may well take quite a logical approach to, there you go, being funny again. No, I don't get it, but okay, I know you don't mean it seriously. That'll come in time. But I just think it's not always, and it does frequently come down to this demand that the sensitive kid make the accommodation for everybody else rather than everybody else
around.
saying, might we be giving her a tough time? Could we do this differently? For example, funny twin can mimic parent.
Yeah.
They find it a hoot and a half. Yeah. Mimic each other. Mm. Leave her out of it.
It's so interesting, though, that they're twins.
Yeah, very
and
different.
Is that usually the case?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, nine. What can happen with twins is they're treated as a unit,
yeah.
Rather than two individual autonomous people with their own interests, desires, hopes, wishes. Mm. And that's what they are. They're two individual people. And they, even if they're, you know, identical, and they can, and even here, they're great friends. Like, these kids do get on. This is just something in terms of where you find humor and relatability. So I actually just think, look, she doesn't find it funny. Rather than allow this fester so that it could interfere with their relationship, just change how you're all interacting with her. Yeah. Sensitivity is something that the onus is often put on the sensitive person to toughen up. And I don't think that's fair or realistic. If they could toughen up that easily, they wouldn't be sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, and sensitivity is not a bad trait. It can be really tough when you're a kid, largely because we live in a world and a society that is absolutely not sensitive. And so to be the sensitive person can be really hard work, because you're so always constantly trying to read your own emotional responses, reading the intention and emotional responses in others, and trying to find the sense and make meaning of it all. That's a huge task for any child to do. So I do think she's, you know, as she gets older, she will absolutely develop skills, but she's going to rely on her family to be that safe space for her to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, because they're twins, can it be a factor that they get to a point where, because everyone's treating them as a unit, that one or both of them go, no, I'm going to be different now, and I'm going to somehow stand out from this unit by, for instance, being the funny one or
absolutely
the mimicky one.
But I
one.
Think the funny child, and this happens in all families, twins or not, that the child who's, you know, deemed the humorous, good-humoured, funny one, they get a lot of attention for their funniness.
Mm.
And if somebody is laughing and kind of encouraging you, and you're going to up the ante to elicit the same kind of reaction. So that's also going on. That's a dynamic in families, whoever the alleged funny one. Everyone now listening will be like, was that me? Was I the funny one? I guess if you have to wonder, you really weren't.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think there's personality types at play here as well. But just a little bit of, yes, she will grow into understanding that it's not serious, but it's not just on her to change. I think the rest of you can. And this parent reads this kid well, let's be honest. Like, you've described her so well here. But the fact that they rarely fight, they get on, they're friends with each other, they've loads of friends. Like, there's so much good here.
Mm.
Just a little bit of sensitivity around not making her the butt of the joke, because some people, particularly sensitive people, hate all the attention being on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the onus on them to somehow fit in with everyone else. I'm a first-time mom to a beautiful son who's now 6 months old. My problem is that I'm being constantly bombarded with advice from my family. My mother and my father, my husband's parents and my sisters all chime in with advice about how to raise my son. It's driving me mad. As much as what they say is contradictory, and I feel like they think I don't know how to look after him. I also worry that everything I do is monitored by them and commented on behind my back. My husband says I should just tell them all to back off, but I don't want to offend anyone and really do value their support sometimes. What can I do without annoying everyone?
My husband could also tell them to back off, couldn't he?
Yeah.
I was just thinking that. But, this is a great example of how sometimes even really well-intentioned advice can be experienced as judgment by the person who is receiving it.
Mm.
And particularly, you know, the first 6 months as a new parent, especially, but even if it's your third baby, the first 6 months, you are just in the trenches. Like, you're just trying to survive that and find your feet and establish this new shared rhythm with this baby who's come into your life. So actually, you're quite vulnerable. So in ways that if people give you unsolicited advice in life, you'd normally go, oh, whatever. And shrug it, like, or the husband said, just tell them to back off. It's different when you're fragile and vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because it is so judgment edged, even when it's not intended to be so. And I don't think this is intended that way.
And I get the sense she's relying on these family members to some degree to give her some degree of support.
Because you don't want to say, don't tell me anything, because you are a new parent, and there will be times you go, look, I do actually have a practical question about this thermometer or, you know, whatever it might be. And I think that's what it really comes down to, Sean, is having a phrase or a couple of phrases that you can quickly say, you know, I know you mean well, but all of this advice coming at me is a lot all at once. But I'm sure you remember what it was like yourself at this stage of parenting, doing a bit of that, oh, we're in this together, you get it. And it's great to know you're there if I need help or have questions to bring to you. So that's a really important part. I know you're there if I need it and will raise it with you. And other little phrases that don't get you pulled in when you get unsolicited advice is just a simple phrase like, is that so?
Yeah.
Now, tone is everything. I do want to emphasize that.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Is that so?
Is that so? You know, how you say it is going to be so, so important. And I think as well saying, oh, that's really interesting. We're managing fine doing it our way. Again, tone is everything. But these are okay things to say with a smile on your face to say, you know, you want to avoid saying things. Well, I wasn't actually asking your advice because that is antagonistic. Yeah. But there are many things. I think in the moment, though, to have some stock phrases or responses is there. I also think they will back off.
Yeah.
You know, like you're 6 months now, it should be happening soon though, to be honest with you, where there is excitement in families when a new baby comes and everybody's invested in the raising of this baby. And there's a lot of pro-social gains to that.
Yeah.
But it's really about putting a boundary around, I'm his parent. I know what's best for him, but it's great that I have you all there as a resource when I need to avail of it.
Yeah.
And I will do that. And anyone who's there thinking they're giving out great advice to new parents, just really catch yourself and go, is this something they need to hear from me?
Yeah.
And is it better that you could reframe it saying, look, you know where I am. If you ever have questions, I'm not an expert, but I've been here and maybe I could help you through it.
Yeah.
You frame it in a different way.
Yeah. And as you say, hubby might be in a position to say something as well.
A little bit there. Yeah.
I think this might be a controversial one. My 8-year-old daughter wants to go to a sleepover in a friend's house in 2 weeks' time. I'm reluctant to let her. My husband and my mother think I'm being overprotective, but I think it can be risky to leave your kids sleeping at other people's houses. They are school friends and know each other since play school, and I know the mum well. She's lovely, but I don't know her husband or her sons, and you just never know who else could be in a strange house. Just to be clear, I'm not suggesting there is anything dangerous or dodgy about these people or the family. I'm not sure I would want her to stay over in any other house. I don't want to raise her to be scared of the world, and I don't want to be overprotective or paranoid, but equally, bad things can happen. Maybe when she's older, it would be okay, but I think it's too risky any sooner than age 12 or 13. What do you think?
So what do I think? Like, there, genuinely, this is each parent's call to make, but I have been asked what I think, and I think 8 is too young.
Right.
I'm just going to say it. I think it is. And I think if you have any kind of uh-oh feeling about this yourself, go with that, because you won't sleep a wink. You won't rest. Like, you won't be happy when she's doing it. And you can adopt a family rule that you only do sleepovers in family members' homes. Like a cousin, a grandparent, you know, because there will be some of that when you're away and you need babysitting or whatnot. But you don't have to justify this decision. It is okay just to say, no, you're too young for this. In our family, we do sleepovers in family members' houses at this age. End of.
Yeah.
And you don't have to keep just, and she's allowed to go, oh, but why? And everyone else. Mm. Of course she is. That's her job to do that at 8 years old. But you don't have to keep labeling, go, no, I've answered this now. We're done with it. What I will say, though, and I know kids love hanging out together and the idea of sleepovers, you know, they watch a lot of TV shows and read books that celebrate this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I also think you can do what's called, call it what you like, really, but an unsleepover. Have you heard of this? An unsleepover is the idea that you'd host an alternative to a sleepover. So you have an evening party gathering of kids. Mm. They can come in their pajamas if they want, get pizza, movies. They can watch the movies in sleeping bags, but everyone goes home by about 8, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've had all the fun parts of the sleepover. And the bits where everyone's going to be up with 8-year-olds, are you joking? Like 2, 3 in the morning, at least 2 or 3 of them are going to want to go home. And
well, that's what I was going to say.
Absolutely.
If she's never done one before, you don't know that's going to happen.
No, 100%. But you could say, look, we're going to, you could, now they're 8. I kind of go with the old, you know, have it from 6 to 9 p.m. or whatever you want, 5 to 9 p.m., but have it wrapped up by then. Even a bit older, and so they feel they're up past bedtime and it's all a bit exciting. 10 o'clock could be a cutoff. So they're having all of the experience, but they're going home to their own beds and their own homes with their own parents. So think about that if you feel that you do need to offer some kind of alternative or a compromise so that she doesn't feel like everyone went in a sleepover and I was left out, that you could host an unsleepover where they get to have the fun part of it. But honestly, 8 years old is very young. And if it's not something that sits well with you, then the answer is no.
Yeah. I suppose there isn't, like, I mean, she's saying 12 or 13, but I mean, there's no... how long is a piece of string
absolutely.
Kind of question, really.
You'd need to, and I wouldn't offer that, by the way, because 8-year-olds will remember that you said 12 years old and they will remember the day, the date and the time that you said it on. I would say, you know, always kind of go, this is something we'll look at again when you're older, okay? Mm. And if you need an age, we will talk about it when you're 12. You're not making a commitment because you don't know what kind of 12-year-old you're going to have.
Mm.
So it could be the kind of 12-year-old you absolutely don't want going on sleepovers. Or else it could be, that would be fine. There isn't an age where you go, that's too young, but that's the perfect age. It really depends on families, on how you feel about your child staying in someone else's house. And I think it's okay to say, I don't really know. Yeah, somebody can be super pleasant, but if your only exchange with them is at the school gate, you don't really know them.
Well, then you don't. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Also as well, kids have their own habits.
Absolutely.
That a kid can go on a sleepover and go, I'm usually flaked out at 9, but the other two girls are, you know, want to talk till 1 in the morning.
Or
you know,
the kid who wants the light on to sleep versus the kid right beside them who can't sleep with the light on. And all of that wants to chat, wants all of the stuff that can go on.
Yeah. John says, in our house, we call them wakeovers.
Oh, perfect.
The child rarely sleeps a wink and comes home the next day in awful bad form. Parents need to say no.
I thought John was talking about a version of unsleepover.
Yes.
There.
And just going back to the question we had about the twins, Tony says, my 19-year-old daughter was exactly like that sensitive kid. And in later teens, was an absolute stickler for following rules. Both those traits are still with her. And I honestly don't know anyone more popular and content.
Oh, absolutely. She doesn't have to, you know, share somebody's sense of humour to be able to socially function. She sounds like she's socially well connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Joanna, thanks a million.
Thank you.
As ever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.